be grateful for your prayers. Ask the Lord to bless our time of looking together into his word. I'd like to consider the thought of redeeming time. And you know what it is to redeem something? It's a thought and a theme that is central to Scripture, the plan of God for mankind. To redeem man from the curse of sin. To buy man back, to pay the price, to buy man back out of bondage, to redeem, to set free. Thank the Lord that we can know what it is to be redeemed. But I'd like for us to think about this word redemption or redeeming in a different sense in which it's used. Really, it's the same sense, but a different context or a different end. Redeeming time. I want to think of time as a commodity that every one of us are given. It's important. We're given a treasure. Every day that we're able to see a new day is a gift from God. And it's up to us, although we all have the same amount of time in our day, it's up to each one of us how we use the time that we're given. How do we make the best use of our time? Think about a song that I won't try to sing to you. But it says, have you wandered along on life's pathway? Have you lived without love a life of tears? Have you searched for the great hidden meaning? Or is your life filled with long wasted years? Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fears, turn around, turn around. God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. You know, a year spent in the bondage of sin is a wasted year. There might be the pursuit of the pleasures of sin that might be realized for a season. But you know, without living our life for the Lord, it's really wasted time. What is time well spent? Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. What's the rest of it? Only what's done for Christ will last. What is our life really all about? The song referred to life's hidden meaning. Why am I here? To what purpose? To what end am I living in this earth? Do I understand what my real purpose of being and existence is? Not just one year, but one day. Spent living for myself is a wasted day, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. Even if someone's life is spent in the accumulation of this world's goods, and they're successful in that by every measure of the world's standards, they climb the ladder of success, they have their name recognized, and multiple accounts, they're set up well in life. The finest that life has to offer. You know, when you come down to the end of it all, and you realize, I'm just going to leave it all behind. I'm going to leave it now. I can't take it with me. Solomon wrote it like this. It's vanity. All is vanity, saith the preacher. All this that I've accumulated and I've bought and purchased and gathered to myself. And now I'm at a point in life that I look back on it. And I say, you know what? It loses its value to me. It's not worth what it once was to me that I thought it was so important to get and to have all these things. But now looking on it, the greatest value that I can give it is just vanity. It's just emptiness. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to live our lives in an empty, vain pursuit. To just live lives that are really serving no purpose than the fleeting pleasures and passions of the flesh. The Lord calls us to something nobler than that, something more lasting than that. I also want to read, though, of all the waste that sin brings, I want to read a scripture in Joel. It says, "And I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten." Whether in a natural sense or in the spiritual that I believe we can apply today. You know, even whenever there are years where famine maybe has limited the yield of our crops and things, you know the Lord is able to restore that. He did it in advance for Egypt under the leadership of Joseph, where they had plenty and abundance for 7 years. Remember that? And it was enough to carry them through the 7 lean years. The Lord was able to make up for that leanness in the years of plenty. Again, a life lived in sin, a life lived for the pleasures of this life. It's vain, empty worthlessness, really. But the Lord is able to restore that which has been robbed from me. That which has been spent in emptiness, vanity. The Lord's able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And I'm thankful for that. And I want us to be reassured that there is great value in life. There is to be. And that value is found by giving ourselves to the Lord. I'd like for us now to shift a little bit, though. Return to the 28th chapter of Matthew. I hope that we, in a brief few moments, have established the importance of giving ourselves to the Lord and living our lives for Him. What then? You remember after Jesus was crucified, there was so much that was unknown and uncertain to the disciples. What's next? What does this mean? Remember at one point, wasn't it Peter that said, I go fishing. It was one of the disciples, one of the three. It said, I go fishing. I'm going to just go back to what I've always known. It seemed at that time that they were a little bit lost, like a ship without a rudder. What else do we do? I don't know. You know, Jesus wasn't finished with them. He doesn't just call us out of sin into an empty void. He doesn't just take things out of our lives to leave us empty. He takes out so that He can put in something of far greater value. He calls us from something so He can call us to something that is so much more worthy, worthwhile in our lives. Peter, not done with you. To the disciples, your story's not yet fully written. I've got more for you, and oh, so much more ahead for them. 28th chapter of Matthew now. In those following couple of months that Jesus was with them on the earth, He had more to say to them. Matthew, the 28th chapter, and we'll read in the 19th verse beginning. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that concluded Matthew's gospel. I'm calling you to something more than going back to your nets. Don't forget, I've called you to be fishers of men. I've called you to a greater calling and purpose than just the nets that you've left behind. And Jesus now gave what we consider and call the Great Commission. I've got a job for you to do. He had reassured them that I'm coming back for you again. But what to do in the meanwhile? I've got work for you to do. I've got a calling for every one of you. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and take the good news that the world so desperately needs. I'm going back to my Father, but I'm leaving my work with each and every one of you. I'd like to look at Mark's rendition or recollection or writing of this. Mark, the 16th chapter. The 15th verse, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not just a certain race, not just a certain upbringing or background, nationality, or something that they might have in common with you. If they share a common humanity with you, go and take the gospel to them. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In other words, I'm going to be with you. You're not alone. There will be power, and I believe that he's talking about more than literal serpents and poison. He can take care of that with ease. But unto the spiritual forces of darkness that you encounter, there's a power that will go with you that's greater than all of that. So go. Go into all the world. Go into every creature and share the good news. What's at stake? Those that believe not will perish in an everlasting destruction. That is to be the compelling force behind what we're given to do, our commission. There's an urgency that Jesus gave them to this. Go. Go out. Well, he said first, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. But you're to go out into all the world. And he ensured that by the persecution that soon followed of the church, that they were scattered into the corners of the world. Go and take the gospel message to every creature. Because everyone that believes not is going to be damned. We each one are called to something higher than the empty things of this world. We're called to leave that behind. We're called to follow Jesus. And part of following Jesus is accepting his great commission. You say, well, you don't understand. I'm not a missionary. That's not my calling. Every one of us are called and commissioned with this commission. Do you live in the world? Then you're in the world. You're in this realm where God's Jesus commission applies. Go into your circle. Go into your corner of the world and share and live the gospel message unto them. Colossians, the 4th chapter now. Colossians 4 and verse number 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Who is without? Without what? Remember, Brother Noah, that the Lord called into the ark. And all those that were without the ark of safety, there came a time when it was too late for them. And there's coming a time that it'll be too late for those that are outside the ark of safety. That is what is the urgency of this message, of this commission. There are people that are not yet on the ark of salvation. Many, many that go in the broad way, and few that find the narrow and straight way. So walk in wisdom toward those that are without. It said, redeeming the time. And here comes this thought of redeeming our time. Whatever time that we have in our account, the amount of which none of us know. How much time do I have? left. I don't know. I don't know how much time is in my account, but I want to make the very best use of the time that I have. It's how I redeem the time that I purchase or I buy back. Do any of you know how to back up the hand of the clock? Not just that clock on the wall. Do you know how to reverse time in your life? Do you know how to go back and relive last year? I don't know how to do it. I can't. That's not really what redeeming the time is about. It's about me looking forward with the time that I have left and saying, Lord, how do I walk with wisdom, live intentionally, so that I, in the remaining time that I have, remember how the Lord is able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. He's able with the time that remains to redeem the time that has been lost. And it only comes by us living our lives in the center of God's will, which is where I can make the very best use of the time that He's given me to redeem the time. We don't live unto ourselves. The Lord has not called us to isolated lives where my greatest purpose is just to get through life and make it. That's the most important purpose for me. I'm not going to be able to help anybody else if I can't make it through myself. But the Lord calls us to something more than that. That we are to be able to be His hand extended to those that are around us through our lives. None of us live on a mountaintop or in a cave somewhere. And Jesus did not wish for it to be so. For He said, I don't ask that you take them out of this world, but I ask that you keep them from the evil that's in the world. We're going to live right in and among this dark world. We're going to work with people that walk in darkness. We're in many cases going to have family members that walk in darkness. We're going to live next to people that walk in darkness. And do you know what people who walk in darkness do? They do the works of darkness. And sometimes those might be directed against us. Lord, help me to know how to walk in wisdom with this purpose in mind. It's not just my comfort. It's not just me. But to realize that they are a soul. I heard a testimony of a name that is pretty well known right now in our country, Charlie Kirk. One of the politicians in the upper part of our government said that someone had done something against him, and he was so angry about it, and he called and was talking to Mr. Kirk about it, and Charlie's response was, you know, it sounds like somebody that is broken and in need of a Savior. Folks, how do we look at those that persecute us? How do we view those? We don't see the kind of persecution that Christians in the past have. All right, how do we treat those that cut in line ahead of us? How do we treat those that cut us off in traffic and wave with one finger at us? How do we treat them? How do we respond to that? What is our spirit? Remember the disciples, whenever they were going with Jesus into a village and the village would not receive them. What was the disciples' reaction to that? Righteous? Well, it was indignation at least. Lord, would you have us so we call down fire out of heaven? One thing you can say for them, they had faith. They had faith to believe that here in the presence of Jesus Christ, that He could cause fire to fall from heaven. They believed the Scripture. that it was so with the prophet. They had a few things going for them, but Jesus said, you don't realize the manner of spirit that you're of. You're responding to this situation in the wrong spirit. The indignation that you feel right now is not the one that's going to accomplish my will. I'm not come to destroy the world, but I've come to save the world. And I say, Lord, help me, and Lord, help each one of us, that we have the Lord's vantage point, the Lord's perspective. Paul dealt with it a little bit as well. And he was talking unto the church when he said about the weak brother that comes in, and just paraphrasing the idea of it at the time, those who, because of their religious upbringing, they couldn't bring themselves to eat meat. That you yourself know that now the scripture does not condemn. He said, well, how are you going to conduct yourself to the strong brother? Are you going to, by your liberty, offend the weak one for whom Christ died? Lord, help us to always have the vantage point that though they might be in the wrong, though they might not be where they need to be, Christ died for them. He gave His life's blood for them. Though I might look at the condition they are in the gutter and say, what a shame. That's pathetic. Do you realize that the things that we see manifested in our world today, it's not a cause, it's a symptom. And I'm going to tell you, things affect me. And it doesn't help, I guess you can say, by the fact that in our information age, things that happen in just about all corners of the world are made public knowledge. Whenever a young lady on a train is stabbed to death for seemingly no reason, it's terrible. It's awful. And I don't believe the Lord wants us to get to a place that I'm just numbed to evil. Nor does He want me to get to a place that I overlook the fact that the perpetrator that did that is one for whom Christ died. That Jesus gave His life's blood for that individual as well. And that's but one example of so many in our world where we see behaviors and actions that are annoying at best, heinous at worst. And I see these things all around me. Lot's righteous soul, the scripture says, was vexed daily by the conversation of the evil around him in Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, we're not to become numbed unto it, but walk in wisdom towards those that are without, realizing that that's a soul that is eternity bound, realizing that that is a soul that is broken and in need of the Savior's healing touch. What is our perspective? When we see somebody who the effects of substance abuse is written all over their face and their bodies, do I write them off? Or do I see in them the potential of what Christ could make out of that life? You know, He could still deliver and still is in the business of saving to the uttermost. Do I believe that? Do I see that when I look at that person? Or do I allow my disgust at maybe their lifestyle and their choices to override that? Do I see what God could make out of their lives? Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep among the wolves. Don't be surprised if you're gnashed at, rent upon, turned against. Don't be surprised, because I'm sending you out among the wolves. What a place to be. Exactly where Christ wants us to be. I want you to go, and I want you to be. Don't become a wolf among the wolves. I want you to go and be a lamb right in the midst of wolves. And it can feel like, it can seem like sometimes, it is just a survival mechanism to be a wolf among the wolves. It's not what Christ was. He came among wolves, and he opened not his mouth as a lamb that is brought before the slaughter. And he lived among men as the meek and lowly Lamb of God. Yes, he stood for truth. He didn't compromise truth. He was the truth. And yet, as we think of walking in wisdom towards those that are without, Jesus said, in continuation of that, he said, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Be as wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. Lord, give us wisdom towards those that are without. There is wisdom to be had and wisdom to be used. And I feel so often that I have so little of it. Lord, how do I handle this situation? Lord, how do I truly help this person? Sometimes help doesn't look like what the one in need thinks help looks like. Sometimes love doesn't look like what the world says love is. Lord, give me wisdom to know when to stand firm and strong. And to take a stand, Lord, give me wisdom to know when to rebuke and when to entreat. To know when to denounce and when to stretch my arms out in love. Folks, it takes a wisdom that is beyond our own. Be as wise as serpents. Know how to navigate in the midst of a world of, in a battlefield full of mines. To have the wisdom to know how to navigate all of that. And I have to say, Lord, help me. How do I navigate all these things, the situations and circumstances that sin results in the world around me? Jesus said, you're going to be taken up. You're going to be taken up and brought before magistrates and rulers, and you're going to be persecuted. They're going to speak all manner of evil against you. And he said this, it will turn for a testimony to you. You see how through it all, it wasn't just about poor little you. I'm going to keep anybody from speaking bad against you. You're my own. That wasn't what his plan was. He said, I send you forth in the midst of those wolves. They're ravening. They're going to take you up to persecute and kill you. But by you living the life of a Christian by the grace of God, by walking in wisdom towards those that are without, it's going to turn for a testimony. I'm going to be able to use it to reach those that could be reached by no other means. Samson did more in his death than he did in his life. The Lord can redeem time. I might look back and I've wasted so much of my life. But if I'll turn it to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to be glorified in my life, each and every day of my life, he can redeem and do more good in the latter part of our life than he did in all the years that preceded it. So don't think if you're in the later years of your life that you're just in the sunset, that there's not much use that God has for you. Let the Lord take and redeem your time. Let him get the very best use that he can out of every day and moment of your life. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light shine. Part of it is going to be through this turning to a testimony for you. Light shines the brightest in darkness. Folks, it's scriptural for us to come and do what we're doing here today. It is scriptural for us to meet together. There's a purpose for it. You know, even in a setting like this, let me add, it's not just for what I can get. I want to come with a mindset, Lord, how can I be a blessing? Lord, how can I contribute to the service? It's not just what can I, as JFK said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. It's not about, Lord, I want to always be served. Lord, how can I serve my brother? Lord, how can I be an encouragement and a blessing to them? But it's not only inside of these walls where we serve the Lord. I venture to say that the greatest portion of our service is outside of these walls. To people that may never come inside the doors of a building like this. The ones that we rub shoulders with. The ones that we live among. The ones that we work with. Let your light shine. That's to be our focus. John chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Do you feel the urgency behind what Jesus said, the urgency that he felt? Today it's day. But I must work while I can. I must work while it's day because the nighttime's coming when no man's going to be able to work. You know, we have a golden opportunity in our nation and in our world today. It's easy to look around and say, oh, for the good old days. I remember the good old days, or I've read about the good old days past. Do you know these are the good old days? This is our day. This is the gospel dispensation. And there are opportunities afforded to us right now that may not be 5 years from now. There are doors that are open to get the gospel message out and broadcasted widely and freely without restriction today that we might not have in the future. Am I redeeming the time that I have? Am I making the most of what I have right now? Because the night time's coming. Yes, the end of the world is coming. But the time is coming when night is going to be upon us. When the darkness is even darker than it is around us now. This is the day for us to work. This is the time for us to invest in what God wants me to do right now. We are called, in the interest of time, I'm not going to turn to all of these, but 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, we are called to be ambassadors then of Christ. We are called to continue His work that He began and is still doing from the right hand of the Father. But we are His ambassador, we are His mouthpiece, we are His hands and His feet in this world. You know, there is a phenomenon called bystander syndrome. And if you've ever seen where there's been a crime committed or an accident or some kind of crisis in the moment, sometimes you'll see from video or surveillance footage that the majority of people are just standing around watching. And there might be somebody bleeding out in the street and people just standing around frozen. Bystander syndrome is the phenomenon or the feeling that somebody else will step in. Somebody else will do it. Now, somebody else is more qualified than I am. But the person next to you is thinking the same thing. And the person next to them is thinking the same thing. Folks, we are in the midst of a world that is hurting and dying. I don't want to live my life saying, well, there will be somebody else that's more qualified than I am. That somebody else will reach out to them. Someone else will invite them to church. Someone else will tell them that Jesus loves them. I don't know if I know how. I don't know if they'll take it from me. Lord, help us to redeem the time that we have. Every one of us are called to be ambassadors. I'm not talking about us living in a place where I am truly scripturally unqualified and I'm going and trying to preach on the street corner. Take care of your own house first. But don't stop there. The Lord's called us to something more than just my own house. Psalms, the 90th chapter. Psalms 90 and 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. O Lord, teach us. Teach us the urgency of how short time is. Lord, teach us how important it is to make the best use of the days that I have. Lord, teach me how to number, how to recognize that time is a limited commodity. I only have so much of it. Lord, teach me then how to order my steps with that in mind. What bearing should that have? How should I live differently, knowing that time is short? Time is running out. Like an hourglass of sand, it's trickling out steadily. The only thing is, we don't know just when it'll run out. But my time is limited in your time. And the time for those on the streets of our community and to whatever place God calls you, their time is running out as well. Lord, teach us then to properly esteem the importance of the time that I have. Folks, it's not just squandering time out in sin. Do you know I can squander my time as a Christian? I know it. Because I've done it. Where I've lived my life and I look back on my day, I look back on my week, and I say, what have I really done of lasting value? I'm not saying that our days are going to constantly be made up of monumental experiences of working for the Lord. You know, working for the Lord more often consists of the mundane, the seemingly insignificant, and being faithful to that every step of the way and seeing how God can take little as much when God is in it, how He can take that and make something of it and open up other doors for something greater. Lord, help me to know how to not live for myself. And I'm going to venture, I already confess this has been me. I've found myself in places of my life where I've gotten so caught up in Clint things. Things that I wanted to do that I realize I've effectively squandered my time. It's not to put us in a straitjacket either, where I can't do anything but be on my knees 24 hours a day. It is a call for us to say, Lord, help me to walk in wisdom. Lord, teach me to number my days. Help me to redeem the time that I have. Ignatius, who in AD 107 was taken to his place of martyrdom, of execution. On his way to his execution, said, "Now is the time to set aside all empty talk and to run toward the goal. As it is written, many are called, but few are chosen." He didn't shrink back. This is the time. This is the moment. We don't face the stake in martyrdom today like he did. But the call is no less urgent for us. Take up the mantle. Seek God for your calling. Lord, what can I do for you? We can so fill our lives that there's no capacity for the Lord to come along and say, Clint, would you do this? Clint, I've got something over here for you. And I can think in my mind, well, if there's something big that God shows me to do, I'll do it. If there's no room in my life, in my calendar, on my clock to do the little things for God, there will be no time and no room to do the big things for God. Have you any time for Jesus? While life's fleeting moments roll. 2 Peter, the third chapter, we read of the deceptiveness of time going on as it always has. There will be in the last day many who are scoffers, saying from the beginning of the earth all things continue as they were. No change. This day is like yesterday. This year is like last year. What, in other words, is the urgency? What's the big hurry? You know, procrastination is the thief of time. Procrastination is what robs us of our time that we instead are to be redeeming for the Lord. The numbing illusion that there's plenty of time. I can work for the Lord later. I can really devote myself later. First Timothy, the fourth chapter and 14th verse, Paul told Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in you. You know, to each one of us, the Lord has given to some measure a gift, a talent. And remember what in Jesus' parable was expected of the talent? To one he gave one, to another two, to another five, and he left. And the charge that he left his servants with was, occupy until I come. Be up and doing the master's business. Busy yourself with the occupation of trade. Don't go bury it in the ground somewhere. Folks, we are so blessed to know truth. So blessed to be raised knowing truth, and we can almost just take it for granted. We can almost take the treasure of truth that we know and go put it in a napkin and bury it in the earth. It's mine. I know it. Folks, this world needs what we have. The world is craving, whether they realize it or not, wholesome, godly homes and families and lives, and the peaceable fruit that righteousness yields in their life. But too many of them, even in a Christian nation, are clueless when it comes to the basic truths of God's Word. Even inside of church buildings across our nation, people clueless to the truths of how God's Word is to apply to their lives and how they're to live it. We can think, well, they go to church, well, they're a Christian, they don't want to hear. No, I'm not talking about being bold and brash and full of ourselves, but don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be ready to give to every man an answer of the hope that lies within you. Study. He said, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't take it and put it in a napkin somewhere. We are called today and this day to be up and doing our Father's business. Lord, increase, if nothing else, my understanding and my knowledge of your word and how it applies. Be ready then to give that answer to someone else. How are you going to be ready to give to someone who now finally the door is open? Someone says, why should I believe in your God? Well, I know there's good reasons. I think there's a scripture somewhere. No, that's unless I've given myself to this. I'm passionately living this in my life and given myself to study of the word. we might be meet for the Master's use, a vessel, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I want to close with what Jesus said there in Luke 19 and 13. Occupy until I come. Folks, how are we handling our time? If we went back and did an audit of our time in the last week, how much of our time was spent on eternal things? How much of our time was spent on temporal? There is time that we have to spend on the temporal. You know, if we're not careful, we can convince ourselves, I don't have time, when in reality I have filled my time with things that aren't really even necessary or essential. And by doing so, rob the Lord of what He wants to be able to do with me. There are places you can go that I'll never have the opportunity, and places that I go that you've not been able to go. I want to charge us and urge us. Let's be faithful, each one, to what God gives us to do. And if you don't fully see it today, be a vessel that's meet for the Master's use, with a heart that says, Lord, would you give me the best gift? The gift that you see can best be used in my life to reach souls and to be a blessing to others. Occupy until the Lord comes. Walk in wisdom towards those that are without, redeeming the time. Pray for me. Amen.